Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Welcome to Houston, Texas, the most beautiful city in the world, and Breaking the Silence. I'm so excited because I just found out just seconds ago that we are now live right now around the world on Facebook, the ShatteredByTheDarkness.com site, the Facebook account on Shattered by the Darkness, and also the BBS Radio Facebook account right now. So actually, we have a Friday night live session, but we are pre-recording this program tonight to run during our Sunday evening, 8 o'clock Central Time show. So we're going to get a double blessing this weekend. So tonight we're on live. If you have any questions, feel free. We would love to have a Friday night question. I don't know what else you would do on Friday night except to get online, and because TV's lousy right now. There's no shows that have a live audience. I was watching America's Got Talent the other night, and there was nobody in the audience. Like, wow, the impact of live people makes a big, huge difference in the show. But anyway, just jump on Facebook, and I hope you're here, and I hope you're with us, and we have a great show. I want you to call in if you have a question or a thought. This one's going to hit home. This is going to be a subject that we have never discussed in almost the years we've been doing shows here on BBS Radio. But the phone number is 888-627-6008. So feel free to call, and we'll get you on. Or you can email those or post them on Facebook. And my son Curtis is in Sugarland, Texas, and he's watching on that. And he may come at the latter part of the program, come on and share with us if there's any questions that way. So next week, I want you to jump on and listen to us. We have Micah Davidson. Micah has written a book called Sticks and Stones, and it's about how damaging and how much hurt and pain our words can have on other people, and how to handle that, how to deal with that, how to control that, and how to be a better person because of the way we use our mouths and our tongues and our words of encouragement, and how we need to kind of put a control system on that. I know I'm guilty of that. You don't have to applaud or say yes or give me a thumbs up. We all know I am. But anyway, that'll be next week, Micah Davidson. And since you're watching this tonight, on Friday night, if you want to tap into Real Life Church, Austin, Texas, on Sunday morning or the rest of their week, they're going to replay that broadcast. I did a wonderful interview with them about how to be free of your past. And that's going to run during their church service on Sunday morning and then all the way through the following week on their website. That's Real Life Church, Austin, Texas. So the Micah will be a guest with us next week. And we have a real special guest. I won't even tell you about it. In 2 weeks after that, that is really going to blow your socks off. Has been on every big time show, and we're going to be blessed to have her, but that's going to be 3 weeks. We're going to have that. So before we get started, before we introduce our guest tonight, I always like to just give you a few things that you can take home with you. You can write down and you can actually apply, because my personal opinion in life is that if you want to invest, and you're going to say, hey, I'm going to watch this show or listen to this show for a half hour or 45 minutes for the full hour, whatever. I want to make sure that you, when you close your computer or turn it off and go to something else, I want to make sure that you are blessed by your investment. Okay. So I want you to be able to get something out of this that you can use next week. And I've tried to find a few that would kind of be a good segue into our guests for this evening. And the first thing that I want to just share, and you may want to write these down just so you can get these and use them and apply them to somebody's life this week. But I want to let you know, life is fragile, sudden, and sometimes life is a lot shorter than it often seems. And I want everybody to know, with all this COVID stuff going on, that no matter what's going on right now, it's important for us to remember what is important. Major on the major and minor on the minor. So many times in life, we get focused on the minor things that absolutely go in there and eat up our time. And then we let our family or our church or the things that are really important to us go to the back burner. And that's the exact wrong way to do. So spend your time wisely and pause long enough to appreciate life. And I think somewhere down the line, in the middle of the morning is probably the best time to do this. It's just when you wake up, just stop and think of all the blessings that we have and the good things in life that we ought to be able to cherish and look forward to, because life is short. Also, I'll let you know, perfect relationships, you can lean in on this one, don't exist. If you're looking to have a perfect friendship, if you're looking to have a perfect marriage, if you're looking to have perfect kids, they're not out there. Imperfect is something that needs to be understood, and imperfections of a relationship is what makes the love and the acceptance ideal. And to be able to not focus on the imperfect things in life, but in being imperfect together, sometimes we can make one dandy of relationship and one dandy friendship or union. So kind of remember that. I want you to also spend some time this coming week to consciously nurture, okay, your inner hope. We always end the program, and I will here shortly, with, you know, talking about hope. But there's inner hope inside. We always have hope, no matter what. We can look at CNN and Fox and all that stuff right now, and no matter how deep our frustrations are, how deep our pain is, no matter how deep our resentments or unforgiveness and all of that, I always want you to know that if you nurture it and work for it and search for it, you will be able to find hope somewhere in the middle of all that. And I have a feeling we're going to talk about that a little bit later with our guest. One or two more. Worrying is an absolute, literal waste of energy and time. I don't know why people do it. Worry will drain tomorrow of its troubles. Will not drain tomorrow of all its troubles. It's going to drain the strength out of you today. And it's just worthless. So why do we even do that? And then the last one, and then we'll get on with our guests, is even when sometimes it's hard to move forward, it's hard to move at all, every day, try to take a small step in the right direction. Don't stand still. Neutral doesn't work. You have to always try to strive and move forward, and no matter what. Get out of bed. Clean yourself up. I know when people go through depressions, and I'm talking with people, and I said, you know, you have to at least make one goal achievable today and make a step towards that. If not, we start putting ourselves in a hole, and before long, we're down and looking up, and we don't think there's any way to get out of it. So that's just some things that I want you to kind of to focus on this week, and maybe it's something that you can use and apply into your own life. Now, I have some dear friends that's going to be on the show tonight, and Jay and Gloria Mays. and they are in the area of Austin, Texas, and I have known them for several years, and it's just a blessing to have them with us tonight. And I'm going to go ahead and just bring them on and make sure they can hear me, and then we'll talk about how we I want them to tell you a little bit about themselves. But Jay and Gloria, are you there?
Yes, we're here.
Good evening, good evening. And now we lost the screen, but no, I think it's because it's on you. Okay, but it's just great to have you tonight, and I appreciate you being here. And tell me a little bit about, because most people that's watching right now around the world have never met me or you. Tell us about you guys, how you met, how long you've been married, and then a little bit of what you do, and then we'll slowly segue right into why would you want to be on Breaking the Silence. So, Jay and Gloria, welcome to the program, and I appreciate you giving me your time.
I guess I will give the story, Greg. Okay. No telling how Jay will say it, but how we met, it was, we worked together in the same office, but different departments. And let's just say that was close to 21 years ago.
Wow.
And you weren't supposed to be doing that in the office. But what brought us together overall is our high school football teams, they're rivals. And one day Jay came into the office with his high school t-shirt on, and he said all he could hear from the far distance was me calling out, just saying, "Oh, you went there." And it started off from there. We built our relationship there, and we knew after a year, or I guess Jay knew after a year, that he was ready to take on that next step. And the rest was history. You know, after a year of dating, 6 months, he proposed. And in 6 months, we got married. And October of this year will be 20 years.
Wow, how do you realize that? So you guys must have been like 8 years old.
No. Well, Dad always says, "Jay, you robbed the cradle," but no, he didn't.
I did a couple more years than that, for sure. My body tells me that every now and then.
Well, your gray isn't up here, it's down here, but if you have it here, you can't hide it anymore. It's just all, my age is evident.
I don't try and hide it here, I just cut it off.
Okay, so, Jane, Gloria, in the relationship, since I've known you, I have always admired you guys' relationship and the way you love each other, the way you always seem to be just not only husband and wife and friends. Yes. And you don't see that very often in this world, and I just admired that. But as I was doing the poster the other day to promote the program, I was trying to say, okay, what are we going to talk about? But things, when they just seem like probably so good for you, all of a sudden one day something happened. And that's kind of how we're going to segue into this. But Jay or Gloria, kind of walk us into the deep end, but let's start in the shallow and kind of tiptoe in so we can get everybody up, because people have no idea what we're even going to go to tonight. But what started happening with you, Gloria, that you started noticing something wasn't right?
I'm sorry, Greg.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, some years back, Gloria started having some issues with fibroids, uterine fibroids.
Okay.
And it was causing a lot of blood loss. And through the blood loss, her blood count had gotten so low, I think it was down to 5 at one point. And the doctor was like, how in the world are you still moving around with such a low blood count? So, you know, she had had a couple of transfusions because they finally got to the point where she couldn't function on a day-to-day basis. And got a blood transfusion, got another one because she was still losing a lot. And they finally had to do a full hysterectomy on her. Once that was done, that solved the issue in regards to the blood loss and in regards to the pain that she was going through. But after the calm passed from that, we were like, okay, we're out of the woods. You know, everything's good. We can kind of move back to life as normal. And then we started to see some other problems creep up.
Okay, what year are we talking about, Jay? When did this start developing as becoming an issue?
This is like 2005?
So this started in 2008. And the reason why I recall the timeline is because Hurricane Ike had just finished hitting. And they couldn't do surgery on me immediately because all the hospitals were full and flooded because they were taking in from other parts of the area patients that needed surgery. And I remember my doctor telling me, you just don't get out of bed. You're going to get these transfusions. You just don't get out of bed. But a week later after that, I had to get the surgery.
So you were 8 years into your marriage?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Now, I'm friends with you, but I have to be honest with you. I have never sat down face-to-face and had this discussion with you. So I'm learning this too. So if I go someplace where you say, hey, wait, let's don't talk about that. Okay. Was you ever thinking about having children?
Yes.
Definitely.
Okay. What kind of impact? Let's start with that. What kind of impact with these fibroids and it ended up causing you to need a complete hysterectomy? Did that have on you, Gloria, of that inability to have children? Well,
by that time, Greg, so when we first got married, we didn't want to be that couple to say, okay, you're married, time to have kids. No, yeah. We wanted to enjoy. We traveled a lot when we first got married. And then around that time, when we were actually thinking of having children, that's when I was diagnosed with the fibroids. And my doctor was actually even trying to help to eliminate them, do any possible procedures that she could, so we could have hope in having children. By the time I was diagnosed with that fibroid, by the time that hurricane hit and I was anemic, it had grown double the size of when I was first diagnosed. And Jay and I had prayed about it because we had to make decisions around that time. You know, and tell her, because she was like, I can just go in and remove the fibroids, but I can't guarantee they won't come back. So him and I had to make decisions as far as what we wanted to do. And unfortunately, with the pain and suffering that he saw me going through, because of, I mean, I was literally, at times, I know I was hemorrhaging. We talked about it and we decided that we had to do the hysterectomy. And after surgery, she had told Jay that we had made the best decision because of where the fibroid was located at. There was probably not a way she was going to be able to save my uterus.
Okay.
And we went from there.
So it was ultimately the right decision, but the hardest at the time. But for your overall health, it was the right decision. Okay.
Right.
Tell you what, that's a good spot right there. We're going to take our first break. And when we come back, we're going to now get you through that surgery and then what dominoed into what the subject is for what we're going to ultimately spend the rest of the time talking about. Okay? We'll be right back. If you want to call us, call in, and we would love to have you on the Facebook Live tonight at 888-627-6008 with a thought, comment, question, whatever. We would love to have you. We'll be right back in about a minute and 28 seconds on the other side of this break for another segment of Breaking the Silence. This couldn't be coming at a better time. Have you ever felt like you were just trapped and couldn't find your way out of darkness? Have you ever felt like you were drowning and fighting to find your next breath? Well, coming in June 2020 will be the second of a three-part trilogy, my new book, Overcoming the Darkness, The Roadmap to Hope. This new book will provide you a step-by-step approach of how to reach that destination, that important destination called hope. Now, two additional resources are going to be made available when this book is released. One, The Map to Hope. It'll be a handy guide that you can carry around with you, put in your briefcase or put in your purse. And this guide is going to help you find your way when you're stuck in life looking and searching for hope. And then the other resource, the Overcoming the Darkness Companion Journal. I have always believed that journaling is the first step to finding real healing and hope in your life. And this journal will guide you down that path. I'm excited about these resources and this new book that's going to be released in June 2020, the Summer of Hope. Now back to the next segment of Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams right here on BBS Radio. I hope I paid the orchestra plenty of money for that commercial, because we are live tonight on Facebook, Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page and BBS Radio Facebook page on this Friday evening edition. But we are basically pre-taping this for the Sunday night program that's going to be running. So if you're watching Sunday night right now, don't call in, because we won't be able to take those calls because it'll be pre-recorded at that point. But tonight, if you're watching it, we are live on Friday night. We have Jay and Gloria Mays with us from the Houston area, and dear friends of mine, and the whole family, and just great people. And they're telling us about a difficult subject, and it's okay to let us see the emotions, Gloria and Jay, because that's what it's all about. When I stop crying, I know that it's not as impactful anymore, and the impact that you're going to make on so many people's lives tonight and Sunday, and then as it goes out into the world of podcasts and archives, is going to be tremendous. So you've had the fibroids, you made the tough decision. Okay, obviously because of the pain and the hemorrhaging, you had to make this, and then ultimately the doctor said that was the right one, because this saved possibly your life. Then when did you start noticing that there was something else happening after you thought you were out of the woods once with this?
So what continued to happen was my blood pressure. Can you hear me, Greg?
Yeah, and you're not feedback in here at all.
Okay. What continued to happen was my blood pressure continued to be really high, and they were high. I was to a point where now 3 months have passed, and my doctor was like, everything should be back to normal by now after surgery. Blood levels were looking a whole lot better. But that blood pressure just would not come down at all. And she was to the point, she was like, you need to see a nephrologist. And I was I was like, okay. And by this time, it's
2009. Okay.
March of 2009. Or the beginning of 2009. Then I was told, oh, mind you, at that point, I could say I was homeless. Jay and I were homeless because, remember, the hurricane had hit,
right,
and our house had gotten damaged. So we weren't really homeless, but we were living with mom and dad.
Right.
Yes, we were living with a friend first, and then we're living with mom and dad.
Because of what the hurricane did to the home, while you was getting it fixed back up.
Yes.
So in the middle of all this, you had lost the ability to live in your own home.
While, yes,
it was going through reconstruction. Yeah.
Yes.
The hurricane put a tree through our roof.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Literally. Oh, okay.
So, you know, the house was second to what we were going through.
Absolutely. You know,
mom and dad were just like, just come live with us. And that's what we did for my recovery.
Yeah.
And I remember being at their house. And I had to tell Jay that what my doctors were telling me. And my doctors were telling me that I had lost function in my kidneys. And there wasn't going to be a way to recover.
Okay, so because of the operation or the side effects of the operation, your kidneys literally stopped functioning.
Yes.
Okay.
The stress on the kidneys was causing, because of the high blood pressure, it was putting so much stress on the kidneys that they just basically said, okay, we're done.
We're done.
And
so just to throw a wrench in this, when I mentioned this, in the early part, that sometimes we major on the major and major on the minors with the house. That meant nothing during this time, right?
Right.
We focus. You guys probably have a whole different level of priorities in life because of what you have endured these last years. Jay?
Well, we were very blessed in the fact that during all of this, you know, our friends took care of us. Not only Henry, the guy that we stayed with, you know, but we had a lot of emotional support from a lot of our other friends. So the house was a big issue because that's where we lived.
Right.
But it was like, yeah, okay. Because it turned out that Henry's dad actually did repairs that we needed done at the time. So he took care of the roof and all the damage that was done by it, from the rain and stuff. And so we never really had to keep track of what was going on with that because that was taken care of on that side.
Wow.
Our focus was just Gloria and her health.
Absolutely. So how much warning time did you have, Gloria, that the doctor said, hey, the kidneys look like they're not tolerating this, they are shutting down, like Jay said, they're giving up. What happens at that point?
At that point, that's where the doctors were recommending that I start a transplant process.
Wow.
And I was, yeah.
Didn't want to do it, fighting against it.
It was a road you didn't want to take, right?
Right.
What scared you about that, Gloria?
Or in that situation. But I did it. We went through the testing. We went through the process. By the time I finished all of that, we're coming into the latter part of 2009. And it's around the same time I was having the same issues when I was losing blood again. because little did I know, the kidney reproduces red blood cells. So by the time the functionality was pretty much done, it was around the same time that I had my hysterectomy, and I thought I was having flashbacks of what I went through, and I was feeling abnormal again. I developed anemia again. And I didn't know what was happening. And I had a cough because flu was building up in my lungs. And by that time, I had finally had to go to the doctor because I couldn't get rid of this cough. And that's when he had told me, we have to put you in the hospital again. And I would have never have thought that a person could go through so much at that point.
Yeah.
It was a lot to go.
Go ahead, Jay.
I was gonna say it was a lot to go through. It was a lot of stress. Just not, the unknown was the biggest concern, because obviously neither one of us had dealt with anything on that level. We were dealing with other things, you know, with in regards to her health and then the house and stuff. And that, so we were trying to find our center, something to be able to hang on to. And it was just the two of us that we had to focus on, but it wasn't like it was just only us. We had a lot of people to hold us up and support us through all this, you know, from friends and family and so on, and our just the circle that surrounded us. So, you know, definitely counting our blessings and happy that, you know, we've built a base around us that was able to support us and get us through our hard times.
Right.
Our family has been our biggest support. During that time as well, I have family in the medical field. And they helped me and helped Jay a lot to go through the process.
And explain everything that was going on.
And to help us in layman's term of what was happening.
Right.
And then out of the blue, my uncle, he's older than my dad. He came to us and he came to me and said, I want to donate to you.
Wow.
Or I want to try, because at that point we didn't know if he was a match or not. And he was like, I'm going to try. And I didn't know how to respond to that, because again, here we are going into another unknown of, okay, is he going to be a match? Is he going to be able to, what are our options? You know, we had to deal with insurances at that time. Who could get tested? Who could not get tested? And at that time, the insurance that I had, they would only do a spouse and immediate family. And what they had considered immediate family was parents or a sibling.
So the uncle didn't qualify.
So he didn't qualify, but with his experience in the medical field, knowing about different things such as grants and just different things, which he kept me out of the loop so he could deal with that portion of the process. One day he said, okay, everything is going to be covered.
Wow.
They're going to cover my testing. I negotiated with them. I said, okay.
Okay, so you have the donor, and he matched, obviously. Yes. Was he the only match? I mean, the only person that you had that, did you have any plan B, C, or D, or is he it?
Well, the second plan was my sister was coming out of college that year.
Oh, my.
And she was like, when I get back home, she was like, I'll get tested.
Okay.
Because she was graduating that December of 2009.
So answered prayer with the uncle, obviously being family, that helped probably match. That I understand with my limited knowledge on this, that's a plus. So you decided to go ahead and do this.
Yeah, so he went ahead and got tested, and next thing you know, he called me right before Thanksgiving, before we met, because we all did get, we would get together, because, of course, for my grandmother, and he called me, and he said, I remember I was at work, and I was having lunch, and he's like, you know, he was like, Gloria, you know, they call, my name is Gloria Ann, or Gloriana, so he was like, Gloria Ann, I have some good news for you. And I said, oh, what's going on? I'm still thinking he's still testing. You know, I have right. no idea what's going on.
Right.
And he says, I'm a match.
Wow.
I can donate to you. And I didn't know, again, I was at work and I didn't know how to respond to that.
How do you?
Yeah. and And he was like, we just have to schedule a date. And so the holidays were coming. And I told him, let's do it after Christmas. And I told him the reason, I said, that way we're not, you know, in the bed. We can enjoy the holidays. And I told him, let's bring in the new year with a new beginning.
Yeah, good.
And so that's how we were able to get all that scheduled.
And that was obviously a pretty successful, not an easy procedure at all, I'm sure. But it went well, right? Was there any setbacks or anything when you went to have that done? It went?
Nope, everything went pretty well. He got discharged pretty fast. I was in the hospital a couple of more days more than him, but.
Your body received it?
I think the term or the words they used to Jay is that she started peeing.
I guess that's the good side, huh? She became a pianist.
Yeah. Like every doctor that came through there was like, was checking on her bodily functions. And
yeah.
It was like, yes, yes, she's almost there.
And then it finally happened.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things in life that you never take for granted. It's always a pain when you have to, especially the older I get, you know, in the middle of the night, 8 times, you know, all that. But when you can't, and that's the lifeline, it's nice to be able to. So that was great. Okay, so before we take this break, because we're getting ready to take our last break here, this is a perfect spot for it. So you had the surgery. You've had the bodily function, and then you're out of the hospital. So when we come back, we're going to take it from, that was 2010?
2009.
Yeah, 2010. Going into 10, yes.
Going into 2010, right after the holidays of 2009, yes. Christmas. And now you're healing from that, and we're going to take it from there up to 2020 when we come back, right after our last commercial break. If you have a call, question, call in 888-627-6008 as we are Facebook Live around the world tonight. So 888-627-6008. We'll be right back after this commercial.
AI Publishing that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
All right. Well, welcome back. You know, the book Shattered by the Darkness is still, just a few months ago, it hit top 10 again. So I don't know, it's selling better now than it did at the beginning. The next book that's coming out real soon is this one, Overcoming the Darkness, The Roadmap to Hope. And I'm hoping that comes out, hopefully before my birthday is what I'm praying, but we'll see. Everything's kind of been backlogged. But we are with Jay and Gloria Mace tonight. We're talking about their experience with dealing with kidney dialysis and losing the kidney, and the kidney's not functioning, and then going through the transplant. And Gloria and Jay, we just got you out of the hospital, and you're whistling Dixie, and you're happy, and your uncle just gave you a lifeline for many more years. Tell me how those, you know, since we only have a few minutes, but how those 10 years went. Pretty well. I mean, health-wise, everything went pretty smooth. You recovered well.
Yes, they did. Other than always having to be looking out for infections or staying right away from people that were sick, flu, just anything. Since I was immunosuppressed, my immune system, I just had to watch out what I was around and making sure that I stayed healthy.
Right, right.
And that was pretty much the only restriction that I had. My mom has always told me that I was always been her unique child.
Wow. Yeah.
Because there was one year, and we had finally met at beginning years, Greg. I had gotten an infection called histoplasmosis. It was a fungus in the lungs. And the doctors, they have no clue how I got it. I don't even know how I got it. But I was in the hospital for 8 days because they couldn't figure out what was wrong with me.
Wow.
Until that fungus grew in their cultures.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would think that's the only major
setback that you had.
Setback that I, yeah. And it didn't even involve my kidney. I mean, yeah. At all. Right. It was just my immune system.
I'll tell you what, we actually have a caller. Kelly from Houston is online too. So Kelly, first of all, welcome to the program. And if you can hear me, say something and say good evening so we can see if we can hear you. Kelly, are you there? I don't hear Kelly. Does anybody else?
No.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. Hey, Kelly, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing wonderful. You have a comment or a question for the guest tonight?
I do. I wanted to share that my best friend had a kidney transplant, and I wanted to just compliment your bravery on this topic and sharing your story, because on the outside, it's not a visible part of pain and what you're going through from a health perspective. It's all inside, and it's hard for others to just know what you're going through. So your story tonight is important, because I know that my best friend, it's a lonely journey for her, and she did have a kidney transplant. Her mom was the match, and it saved her life, and it's still a journey today with the medicines and lab work, and it's just over, and it's not over. It still goes on and on, but it's sometimes something that's not a visible event for others to see and understand. So I just wanted to say thank you for sharing your story, because I know that my best friend also has to sit back and just live her life in silence.
Wow. Well, thank you for calling, Kelly. I appreciate it. Gloria, Jay, you got a comment? Got a thought?
Yeah, it definitely changes your lifestyle. It changes the things that it changes how you react to certain things and where you want to go. But we adjusted pretty well to it. You know, our first love was football, so it didn't take that away from us.
Yeah. Okay, so now we have about 13, 14, 15 minutes, something like that. Depends on whether we can go a little long tonight or not. And Don will let me know if we can, and we'll keep going if we can. But what's going on now? We're up now to 2020. You look pretty darn good. What's going on?
Well, the biggest thing was when we got the original transplant, you know, obviously, like I said, we walked into this not really knowing, you know, just going along with what everybody was telling us and just trying to pick up what we could. And maybe they told us, maybe they didn't, but kidneys are not guaranteed to be permanent once you get them in, or transplants aren't permanent. You know, right. We were thinking she was going to get the transplant and, you know, live the rest of her life as long as she took care of it, and there wouldn't be an issue. Well, March, was it? This March, she started to have some complications again. Her numbers started to drop in regards to her kidney viability. The doctors were looking and looking, and, you know, her blood count started to drop again. And the blood count got real low once again, the same as it did the first time. Her sister was spending the weekend with us, and we was like, you know, Gloria's acting kind of funny. You know, and we were paying attention, and there were times where she'd try and come out the bedroom, and we'd notice that she was stumbling.
Mm.
And so we're like, all right, something's not right. And then one Saturday morning, she wasn't responding correctly. It turned out by the time she got to the hospital, her blood count had gotten low again, and they checked the functionality of her kidney, and it was gone. It was that the doctor was pretty much like, it's time again for a new kidney transplant.
Wow.
And that caught both of us completely off guard.
So just out of the blue, one day the blood level started dropping and the weakness, the strength was starting to ebb away. And now we're back to, oh no.
Yes.
The waiting list again.
Well, let me go back a little. Yeah. I was also in what we call competitive cheer season. And
if everybody knows about competitive cheer, you know that that's a lifeline. And it is major stuff for those that are in it.
And, you know, I travel with my niece.
Yes.
My sister too, my parents would also attend these competitions. And they were noticing the downhill of my physical, of being able to walk, having the energy.
Yeah.
And that's how I was like, well, you know, it is time for me for my annual appointment.
Yeah. And,
you know, with everything that has happened, going back to a little bit about what Jay was saying of what I went through, I was already doing home infusions as well. They were giving me iron and trying to give me some red blood cells.
Get it back up.
Yes, because the start of COVID. they did not want me in the hospital, but it wasn't working fast enough. So that Saturday morning that he was talking about, where I just wasn't myself any longer, I had told my sister and I had told Jay, I can't do this no more. I can't do it no more. At that point, I didn't know what was going to happen to me. But I told him, take me to the ER. We'll see what happens from there. And Greg, that was the hardest part for me, because COVID had started and they weren't letting anybody in with nobody.
Right.
And they triaged me out in the parking lot. But my doctor even though he knew I've been seeing the same nephrologist and internal medicine doctor for the past 10 years. He knew my history. He didn't want me to go to Houston Methodist here in the Maine Medical Center. He sent me to Clear Lake Methodist. Because he didn't want me around. Right. He didn't want me around a lot of people because he was trying to determine what was wrong.
Right.
And after the blood transfusions, thinking that I would come home immediately, I was feeling better. I was doing FaceTime with all my family. You know, I was feeling good because guess what? I was on Facebook.
Yeah.
A surgeon comes and talks to me and says, we want to do this. And it took me by surprise. And I was like, do what? Well, he was talking about a peritoneal access port to do peritoneal dialysis. And I asked him to excuse himself. I said, but I had to talk to Jay. Because, I'm by myself there, but I know at one point when I look up in that room, I'm not by myself.
Right.
That had to have been one of the hardest parts of it all. You know, we've dealt with medical issues over the past 10, 15 years, but we've always been able to deal with them together.
Yeah. Right. That is a sidebar of this, that is a whole different program of what this pandemic is doing. The trauma that it's causing is just to have to do it alone.
Right. Yeah. And not only for Jay. The anguish that I know my parents go through every day.
Yeah.
They don't take for granted the times that they spend time with me, because they always just say they just never know.
Yeah.
And so I talked to Jay. He was like, COVID literally has shut down the city. And he says, well, do what they say. So here I was thinking I'm going to get out of the hospital after transfusion. Here I am getting an access port in my stomach.
For dialysis.
Start peritoneal dialysis.
And you on dialysis now?
I started May 21st. So the only difference between this time around and the first time, the first time I did what they call hemodialysis. And that's where I go into the clinic every other day for 3 hours. And the machine draws your blood out to clean and filter it. And peritoneal is an actual solution, and I do it every night, and I do it in the comfort of my home. And this is pretty much where we're at now. The only challenges that I face is dizziness in the mornings, but the doctors are working on that.
So here we are, almost 2 months on dialysis. Are you in the system now to be a transcipient or receiver of a kidney now?
So there is a point there. I didn't know if I wanted to do it again.
I understand. No, I don't understand, but I feel the pain, yeah.
And it wasn't something that I talked to Jay about. I talked to my doctor about it, and he's the one that encouraged me to do it again, and that it would be okay. He said all the right words that I needed to hear for me to start that process again. And that's where I'm going through that process now. And I'm going through it with Methodist again. And also working hand in hand with UTMB. So I'm not doing the same tests duplicating the same tests. I'm doing the test with Methodist, and then UTMB will just take those tests that they receive from the doctors that they send me to.
Okay, I think we have Curtis, if you want to come in. I know we have a question that may pertain to this. Hey, Kurt.
Doing y'all.
Good. What you have a question that falls into this section right now where we're at in the storyline?
So this may be a difficult question, but it was one that was asked. The question is, what if there is someone that would like to be considered a kidney donor for you? What are the steps and how would they go about doing it?
Hey, Gloria, Jay.
Yeah, the steps is they would have to contact the transplant centers directly. Due to UNOS, I'm not able to contact the people. I can give out information if I know them and if I have the information, but it's a questionnaire on their websites. And once they fill out the information, then the Methodist or UTMB, whichever hospital they go through the system first, they will contact them.
Okay. Now, if there is somebody that's watching right now, tonight or Sunday or when it reruns all the time from here on out, and they want to do the evaluation, I'll be honest with you, I did this evaluation. It's a very user-friendly 10, 15 minutes. It was done. I had every choice in the world to make, every opportunity to go yes, no, maybe. It was not intrusive. I was pleasantly pleased. But if somebody else wants to do this, Glory, would the best thing to be is for them to get a hold of you to receive that information? Or do you have the Houston line or the Houston website to be able to get that? And we just got word that we can go long, so we'll keep going. So thank you, Don, for that. We're going to go a little longer than the hour tonight. So
yes, I do have the information.
And when you get this also, Curtis, we'll have this on the website. We can put it on our Facebook page too. And underneath where you tap into this live show, we'll have this information so people have quick access to it. Go for it, Jay.
I'll put the information. Let's see if it fits the screen.
Oh, beautiful. That's perfect. Right there. Don't move. Okay, so the Houston Methodist Living Donor.org is basically the website that you want to get on. Houston Methodist Living Donor.org, no spaces. Perfect. And you type on that in the URL, and it comes up and it tells you, yeah, that's good. Okay, we got it. Thank you, Jay. It tells you exactly how, and if you want it to be specific or general, but, you know, obviously, Glory, want people to, if they want to donate to you for the cause to see if it's a match, that would be a real blessing. Curtis, do you have another question that would be right for this segment?
Sir, we do. So another person had wrote in. What would you say to someone else that is going through their situation right now? What would you say to them to keep them going strong?
Somebody else going through it, what would you say? Gloria?
I would say be patient and there is hope.
I love that. There is hope. I love that.
There is hope. That's what got me through the first time. And I know that's what will get me through this time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Jay?
You never know where your donor will come from or where your next piece of hope will come from. You know, somebody that you might have had, you know, waning relationship with, this might be something that'll bring you back together, because that's what it did with Gloria and my uncle. It was unexpected. It caught us off guard for sure. But we were very obviously excited that he chose to. And, you know, it was a very touching thing, you know, such a sacrifice for him to do. You know, and so when her kidney started to have issues the second time around, it was very difficult for her to tell her uncle, because she, in a sense, she thought that she had failed him. But, you know, the doctors told her, you know, you didn't fail. You actually succeeded in keeping it this long.
10 years is a pretty good run, right?
Yes. Yes, it is. And the doctors had no concerns or reservations in regards to recommending her to be a transplant patient a second time around.
Okay. Curtis, one more? You have one more?
Yes, this one's actually for me. And before I ask it, I just want to jump back to the starting of the show whenever my father had asked you how you guys met. Thank God you told the story. Because I know what it's meant whenever we get asked, like, how did you meet your wife? Like, I don't know. Saw her across the room. And I was like, well, she was mine after that. So your story of how you met is so beautiful. Your all's relationship, the pack that I feel you guys, whenever you guys are around, is so strong and just so loving and beautiful. I just wanted to say that real quick.
Thank you, Curtis.
But the question is, and again, like, my father and I see you at church when we were going to church, you know. You're such a strong lady and such a strong couple. What keeps you going? What keeps your strength right now?
Okay. Where's your anchor?
Curtis, what keeps me going is Jay. And my family and my friends. Just the love and support that I have. I want to be here with them. And I want to enjoy life with them.
Yeah.
And that's what keeps me going.
Our marriage is built off of one of the best things. It's our friendship. And so.
In each other.
Yeah, we enjoy being around each other. We enjoy cracking jokes with one another. We enjoy going places with each other. So, you know, the fact that we not only love each other, but like each other, you know, that's a big benefit to pulling us through the tough times that we have. I mean, and we've had some tough times. Yeah. And just dealing with health situations, not only hers, but mine. So
I have a nephew, or my nephews call me Tia Coco. I don't know if y'all ever seen the Disney movie Coco.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's where they get the Coco from. And just, he's going to be 4, and when you talk to him on the phone, you know, it's, yes, Tia Coco, I want to talk to you, but where's my Theo J? you know, he's asking for him, and but he knows that when I'm around, he's around.
Yeah.
But he don't want me. He wants him. It's just, I have gotten, just to go back a little, I have gotten over the hump as far as being able to talk to my uncle. That I have done. And it was a very, very good conversation, and he understood completely on what I was feeling. But this is where we are now.
Yeah. And now, have the doctors sit down and talk with you as a couple, or at least Gloria, is it one-on-one? The dialysis can go how many months before that process doesn't work, or is it an ended time frame, or what kind of
it could be years.
Window do we have?
It could be years.
Really?
Yeah, it could be years. I mean, it all depends on, you know, how it works. I have to make sure that following all the instructions and doing it right.
Right.
Doing the dialysis, making sure I stay healthy, and, you know, everything is sanitized and no infections, especially around the stomach area. But I can go on and on. Like I said, the only thing that I'm having issues right now is dizziness and low blood pressures in the morning. And the
so does this COVID issue just put the fear in you that anybody that walks into your home, or do you get out, or are you okay with, because if you get COVID, it's kind of bad, right?
Right. The only place I travel to is my parents' house. That's pretty much.
It's Costco.
Oh, I do go to Costco. But I'm with my mother. My mother does a lot for me. A lot for me.
Yeah.
And I'm with her a lot. That's pretty much the only two places that I do go to.
Okay.
And it's just for my sanity. Oh, and of course, my doctor's appointments. And if I have to go to the dialysis center, I have to go there once a month so they can draw my blood just to see what, making sure everything is normal as far as what my bodily functions are doing. But with technology, they are able to see my reports on a nightly basis, or whenever they want to go in, because my machine sends the reports to them.
It's amazing. That's amazing. Now, if somebody wants to, and this happens, so don't be shocked, if they want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that, and don't violate anything that you don't, you know, of something personal that you want to give out? But what would be the best way to connect with you if they want to say, hey, I need help with my own situation, or just a word of encouragement to you? Or they can do that all through me and my webpage and this station. It's up to you. But if they want to reach out to you, how would they?
Either you're through your webpage, Greg, or it could be my email address.
Okay.
And that would be Gloria, and that's Mayse, M-A-Y-S-E, @gmail.com.
Gloria, M-A-Y-S-E, @gmail.com. Okay. Right. Now, I want to give that webpage address one more time, and it's HoustonMethodistLivingDonor.org. And type that in the URL search, and it immediately comes up, HoustonMethodistLivingDonor.org. Anything else that you want the world to know, Jay or Gloria, about this experience and from the past to the present to what you hope the future is, and how you're going to get through this with your head hanging on to hope? But anything you want to share before we close out?
No, go ahead.
I would say that if you're the spouse of somebody that's going through this, or the person that's going through it, it's not the end of the world. It's not. Because once Gloria had her first transplant, we were able to resume a pretty normal life. Obviously, we weren't able to do everything that we used to do. We had to limit her sports activities and stuff of that nature. But as far as our travel, we were able to do that. Entertainment, we were able to do that. It's not like she was stuck to a machine on a day-in, day-out basis after the transplant. And as far as the transplant itself, you know, the surgery, the surgeries are getting better and better. And hers went without a hitch when that was 2010. You know, I can imagine, you know, 10 years later, they perfected it even more. So if you're coming upon this situation, if you're having a problem, you're having concerns, worries, doubts, trust me, as a person that's been through it and about to go through it again at some point, hopefully, it's not as bad as some people want to make you believe. It's not all doom and gloom. You can return back to us to pretty much your normal routine. And just have faith, have confidence.
Gloria, is the battle with this more inner than it is the actual cutting stitches and, you know, the operation and all? Is it more the battle that goes on inside of you? Oh, my Lance. Is that where the battle's going on?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. The past couple of months, just mentally.
Yeah.
But then I have to get out of that state and just say, I have to be patient. I have to be patient.
Well, yeah, I tell you,
the battle is mentally for sure.
I know your family. I know your husband and your friends, and you have probably one of the best support circles in the world. Secondly, I know your God, and he is the ultimate of the support circle and a miracle worker. And I also, thirdly, am very aware that Houston, Texas, is the best place for any surgery to be taking place, is right here at this medical center. And I'm so blessed, and I know you are, to be this close to the best in the world right here. And there's just no doubt that there's hope here. And I appreciate you sharing your story with the world tonight. And I appreciate the people that have answered questions or given us questions and comments, and Kelly for calling, and Curtis for being with us. We're going to be thinking about you. We're going to be watching the people on this waiting list hopefully grow, and there's going to be a match for you out there. There's no doubt in my mind.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Guys, I always like to end every show, and this is even so relevant tonight. No matter what your situation is, did you ever think that you would hear the man married to the woman going through this go, yeah, this is okay, it's not that big of a deal? When we hear about it, it's like, oh my lands. It's because of that one thing in their hearts and their lives, hope. Hope will get you through anything and everything as long as you stick together, as long as you hang tough and drop your anchor in hope, you can get through anything. I promise you that. Tonight was a very special program, and I appreciate you being with us, Jay and Gloria, from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so, so very much. And I have a feeling this is going to be a program that is listened by thousands and thousands and thousands of people, and forwarded on to other people that need to hear this message of not only what you've gone through, but the message of hope to how to get through it, not only once, but you're going to get through it twice. You got a book in you. You need to write a book. It'll sell. We appreciate you being with us tonight. Join us next week right here. On behalf of Don and Douglas Newsom, the producers of BBS Radio, I'm Greg Williams, and thank you for being part of Breaking the Silence. And we'll see you next week right here for another edition. And we'll be live next week, 8 p.m. Central Time, for one more edition with Micah Davidson from Austin, Texas, on Breaking the Silence. God bless, and have an awesome week. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific, on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.